Okay, we're back. The item we're on is the PNB, so we're looking for a PNB report from Brian. Last one standing.
So I'll start about a month back. The National Board had a meeting devoted to Pacifica's financial situation, which is dire, and approved a motion setting up a series of prioritized expenditures and hopefully a way of financing them. The motion was to grab money wherever the executive director could find it to pay off the auditors so we could get our 2014 audit signed. It was amended to also include grabbing money to pay for our elections to happen on time. Then use the audit to procure a mortgage against the property next to KPFA. It's the property that houses the national office, but it is KPFA's building. We bought it. And then sets a series of priorities beyond that. Some legally required expenses that we have coming up, getting our fiscal year 2015 audit on track so we can hopefully get CPP money, and so forth. The executive director was able to lift some money from KPFK because they had just received a $50,000 bequest to prepay the postage on the elections, so the national election's now happening on time. And more recently, the auditors were paid enough money to sign our 2014 audit, so we're now only 1 year behind. No word on any progress in carrying out the rest of the motion and securing a mortgage, but it's pretty clear to me. I don't know how clear it is to the rest of the board because there's like varying degrees of financial literacy. There simply is not the money to pay critical bills. We are in the best shape of any station, and we're looking at, in November, having to carry $150,000 in unpaid bills. You can imagine how much worse that looks elsewhere. So there needs to be some financing to create some liquidity to just keep us from shutting down under our own inertia. At our most recent meeting, a motion got brought to cancel the election at WPFW. They have fewer candidates than open seats. California law permits a nonprofit to just declare the nominees elected without sending out ballots in that circumstances. Under the same circumstances last year, the National Board had done just that. There was resistance to doing that this year. You know, several people, including our board chair, who's from WPFW, pointed out they don't have any money to pay their basic bills, let alone sending out ballots. Janet Coburn volunteered they could find the money at other stations. Her argument prevailed. There was a separate motion to let KPFK off the hook for paying its next $75,000 in central services. I guess by way of paying it back for the money that was lifted to pay off the audit and the election postage expenses. There was no discussion or no plan for how the national office would like make payroll and pay its basic bills without that money coming in from KPFK. There are only three people voting against that. It was Margie, me, and Bill Crozier from Texas. And the final motion concerns us. You'll recall we had a vote on bylaws amendments here. It takes 13 votes in the affirmative to approve a bylaw amendment at the local station board level. And we only got to 13 on one of our votes by counting someone who was voting remotely. Janet introduced a motion at the National Board to have the National Board discard that vote. She did not make a clear argument, to my mind, so I can't paraphrase it, as to why it's impermissible to have remote voting. I mean, she didn't cite any law or bylaw or existing policy. That motion is still pending. It hasn't been disposed of at the National Board. And I think that's everything of substance that's happened at the National Board level.
I have a question. When the discussion of the mortgage, is there an understanding that it's a building that we bought and that we would get credit in terms of money raised from that or something like that?
I mean, our books are unambiguous. The building is on our balance sheet. We're all one corporation. And the National Board and the executive management have the power, as we know, to take things from us and reallocate them to other parts of the network. Mm-hmm. So what's that?
They claim they own the building.
Well, they exploit that semantic ambiguity to say everything is Pacifica's because the 501c3 is named Pacifica Foundation. Within Pacifica, where we do separate divisional accounting, that real estate is on KPFA's books. And if you look at our history, every mortgage payment that went into paying off the purchase was a check cut by KPFA and paid by and taxes and so forth. You know, that said, we're rapidly running out of options for anything. And if Pacifica goes down, it takes KPFA with it.
Right?
We need some kind of liquidity injection to stay afloat. And we've not been good custodians of that building. It's rotting away because KPFA doesn't want to pay to fix it up while the national office is saying it's ours and the national office doesn't have the money to pay to fix it up. And the dry rot doesn't care whose it is. So
I personally
think selling it off before it deteriorates further might be a better option. National office can go find their own space. But the mortgage is what the National Board has approved.
I just want to call your attention to a provision in the general bylaws, which I'll give you a citation when I find it, but I noticed it when I was looking at the bylaws this past couple of weeks, that local station boards have a right to make their own rules as long as they don't conflict with, you know, and they're not, they don't go against probably these bylaws or law. It may also say policy, but in any case, there is provision to say that we can do this, and the fact that Pacifica has remote call in and votes and so on.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you completely. And I forwarded to the National Board Sharon's write-up from when we started the discussion about remote participation that had citations from the California Corporations Code specifically authorizing remote participation in corporate in nonprofit corporate governance.
Right, but it's also in these bylaws, in the Pacifica bylaws, anyway, the right to promulgate our own rules. Frank.
So has that 2014 audit happened when they took the money, so that's through?
So, yeah, the auditors have now signed the 2014 audit. The work had been done, but they didn't want to sign it until they got paid for their work, for most of their work. And then the 2015 audit, there's more work to do on our end to get ready for it. The fiscal year 2015 books are still pretty messy.
Okay, and then in the election part, about, was it PFW, is that the one? Does someone get excluded or does somebody not get to be included if you just take the people that are, you know, there's not enough people running for all the spots. So what was the resistance basically to doing that if everyone is included and everyone who's running is in there?
If you don't have an election, you can't run write-ins. So the people who argued for holding the election said they wanted to recruit people to run as write-in candidates so they could get more people on the board.
Oh. I found this citation. It's Article 7, Section 4, And it says that, where's the beginning of the sentence? Maybe it's all one sentence.
Oh, when you're done, I actually have
anyway,
one last
ahead.
Question. Oh, my last one was, I know there's like three sections of our building, like KPFA, the national office, and Nakapon. So are you saying that the national office and Nakapon are one, they go together? When you let go of one, you let go of the other?
Yeah, they're one parcel. So they're one piece of real estate. And then KPFA plus the parking lot are a separate parcel.
So there's no way to like subdivide those and like let part of it go, only if we kept it and rented it separately or something? That would be the only way, but trying to like sell it, they both go, or they, you know?
I don't know. I mean, I think
so
you'd have to ask the city of Berkeley for a variance or something like it. I don't know the ins and outs.
It costs money to divide a parcel.
Anyway, so just an option. I was thinking maybe Nakapon can go, the national office could stay. Just like, I'm just curious about that. So, all right, that's it.
I gave you the wrong citation.
But, you know, they're one building. Right. I mean, there's a wall between them, but they share elements of the roof and things like that.
I gave you the wrong citation. It's Article 7, Section 6E, and it says each LSB may adopt additional rules for the governance of its LSB so long as its rules are not inconsistent with these bylaws. Okay.
Thanks. I got it.
Anyone else? Sharon.
Well, thank you, Frank, for asking the question about the 2015 audit. I did have that question. But when you had said something about central services, I'm unclear because I keep hearing that maybe KPFA is caught up with central services and then maybe it's not. So what is the exact status with the central services?
To my understanding, and the people who know for sure just left,
yeah.
We are completely paid up on our central services to the national office, but we are several months behind on a much smaller monthly payment we make to the Pacifica Radio Archive. And the total in arrears there is somewhere in the vicinity of $17,000 as of the last accounting I saw.
Thank you.
All right. Any other questions for Brian about this? Okay, I'm going to move to the next section of this agenda, which is report back from the work groups. And this will be mostly just a report. Bill Campisi dropped some paperwork around. He and I looked at bylaws and looked at governance stuff. And so he has a piece on governance and so on. I did not look at it in the last couple of days, so I can't summarize it. You'll have to look at it yourself. He and I looked at bylaw changes, and what we did was we drafted, I drafted a bunch of bylaw changes that presumed that Pacifica continued to exist and looked at how would Pacifica be restructured in a way that would have a functional leadership and clear lines of authority and power and responsibility. And so there's a packet of bylaw changes based on that. If those bylaw changes were put in place now, we wouldn't like it because it centralizes the power, and it would give the executive director and the chief financial officer authority to really do whatever they want with the monies of any station. It would be looking at Pacifica actually as a national organization because only by Pacifica being actually a functioning national organization, can it be a we, after much thought and consideration, it is apparent that the structure itself, that is having people on the board from each station where people have narrow station interests that they are driving, and then at some point sometimes willing to make alliances, you know, I'll give you this, you give me that, like sort of like what goes on in Congress. But there's no national agenda or interest built into it. So what was written here is food for thought. And it's one model, and be given all the issues that are being raised about how dire the condition is financially and how we are tied to Pacifica, we think that it's also incumbent upon thinking of another model, that is one that has the licenses going to each, you know, to the dissolving of Pacifica or a major shift in Pacifica's mission and the licenses going to the individual stations. Those kind of things were not spelled out, but this is all just some work to drive food for thought. So that's my report from the governance committee. The BAI thing is that there in various places suggestions that we that this LSB make a resolution to urge the PNB to immediately put RFPs out for the sale or signal swap or leasing management agreement for WBAI, because in looking at all the financial issues, that BAI and the archives are two areas, but particularly BAI with the bleed is so consistent for years and is threatening the stability of the whole network. And the thought was that if we put the RFPs out, that then we could see what comes in on sale, what comes in on lease, what comes in on swap, and then there could be an intelligent deliberation about what are the choices, what are the money, what are the implications. So that we're recommending as a piece of something that goes to the PNB as a resolution out of here, and not a separate one, but now there's the archives discussion, and Sharon is going to give that.
Okay, so kind of like the same concept, which is, okay, well, the issue with the archives is that they are losing money for the network as a whole, and they require payments, which we just heard, of course, KPFA is not making, so there's issues. And, of course, I don't remember the executive. Brian DeShazer has left. And there have been some changes at the archives that have reduced the staff there. So this is the information I have. I'm just going to give you the information.
And our precious resource is at risk.
Yeah, our precious resource is at risk. I mean, other information that we have received is that in the last 17 years or so, only one-fifth of the archive has been digitized. So, you know, there's a need to get it taken care of. And there's various theories about why this is happening and not. But fact is, we need to kind of do something. So one thing that has happened is a few people have left. And with what I've heard and what I've learned is that with the loss, that the salary expense has been approximately cut in half. So perhaps this will be something that helps the drain on Pacifica. But what, similar to what Carol was just saying, we are talking about maybe having an RFP, a request for proposal. That's what that stands for. Because there have been various people that have expressed interest in the archives. And so I'm going to just tell you something that I learned about in doing this. The Radio Preservation Task Force for the Library of Congress, which I didn't. So the Radio Preservation Task Force at the Library of Congress has actually expressed interest in being willing to work with Pacifica to preserve the archives. So I think, you know, that would be a good person to ask for a request for proposal. How would they propose to save the archives? And these are just some of the things we would like to see if there was a proposal to save the archives that we want. This is what I want, okay? I'll just say, you know, the people I've talked to, this is only my idea, I'm open to other ideas. But the first concept would be that Pacifica would retain ownership of the archives, absolute ownership, and there would be some sort of, like, leasing agreement or licensing agreement where the university or the, it could be a university or it could be the Library of Congress would have the ability to take the tapes and start digitizing them and create and help preserve and restore the archives. So that would be the concept. We would we would retain ownership. They would have a license. They would have to create digitized versions of the archive tapes on a schedule and have a searchable database of all the archives. They would have to allow all Pacifica stations to have access to the archives to create premiums for fund drives, because, of course, our archives are a great asset for our fund drives, one of our best, in my opinion. And this is just where there's just my thoughts, but there's different ways to do this. We could allow the university or the Library of Congress to set up a marketing system for the archives so that they would be in charge of, like, trying to get people to purchase these assets, these tapes and these things, and we, Pacifica, would get you could think of it as a royalty payment, a payment every time they sold something. They would get some of it, Pacifica would get some of it, but they would have motivation to do it because they would be getting something. We did learn from Mark Torres, who's currently heading the archive, that two universities are currently paying to use the archives in classes. So there could be a way to perhaps expand that. That's bringing in about $8,000 a year. So not that much, but, you know, there's potential there. And then just as part of the RFP, these aren't necessarily in order, we would require a quarterly report from the university or from the Library of Congress about the number of tapes digitized and the number of sales made and, you know, the royalties that would be due to us. So basically it's just the same concept. We're asking that an RFP be put out, a request for proposal put out to the Library of Congress, to these universities. How would they meet these things that we want? What would they do? And that's what we're trying to do.
And I'll call on you in a minute, Barbara. So what our task force, our governance BAI archives task force thought is that we should have a resolution that covers the things that we've raised that goes to the PNB, and that they include something that says, you know, we understand that the governance structure by its very nature is dysfunctional. The structure of it itself appears to make it dysfunctional, and there are no powers or lines of authority that enable responsibility to be exercised and taken. That the RFPs on BAI and RFPs on the archives, and that we pass that here and pass it on to the PNB. Not that it will necessarily do much, but it will at least take a stand and make some public stuff. Barbara.
Well, I have a question for Sharon, but that makes me have one for you too. Are you proposing that there's something that we can vote on today?
Yeah.
Okay. When you talked with... Yes. When you talked with Mark, and there were two schools using paying, is this what are they using? Are they taking tapes and practicing making digital stuff? No, they're
okay. This is somewhat I'll call this hearsay. I did not talk directly with Mark.
Oh, okay.
But what I understand is that I believe it's like media classes, so they're listening to tapes. They're using the archives like in studying, like not digitizing. They're using it as cultural sources.
Ah, interesting.
That was my understanding.
Okay. And you think that we should craft something today that says we're going to recommend to the PNB that we put out these requests for proposals? Okay.
Is it on a short sheet, cap sheet? Is that be it resolved?
Oh, no, that's the one. We're conveying that. We voted on that.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm about to read the language here. I'm going to read what I wrote, but it may be have to be edited. The KPFA-LSB urges the PNB to take seriously the threat of potential collapse of our precious network. The structure that has representatives from five stations and no representatives of a national network has no lines of authority and a habit of micromanaging as much as it can. Pacifica can no longer continue with BAI, WBAI draining our resources. Therefore, we recommend the PNB immediately issue RFPs for signal swap of BAI, sale of BAI, or leasing of WBAI. One of these options is required. With information in hand, a decision must be made. In order to save our precious archives, we call on the PNB to issue an RFP for proposal on ways in which to deal with saving the archives. And I guess I would add a sentence after the first paragraph, and I'll deal with this with Craig in a minute, that says, we urge the PNB to look at structural changes to the bylaws that make it smaller, more functional, and smaller and more functional. So I guess I'm putting that out as a motion. Is that too complicated and messy and unclear and unavailable?
I wonder if it could be divided.
It could be.
One for BAI, because different people may have different opinions on these different
elements. We could do it in three pieces, yeah. Did you want to?
Pretty much that's what I was asking about separating.
Separating. Okay, so let me raise them one at a time. The first is that KPFA-LSB urges the PNB to take seriously the threat of collapse and a look at the structure, because the current structure with five representatives from five stations, no representatives from national network, no lines of authority or power in the executive director or the CFO, is leading to this potential collapse. So a look at the structure.
You stopped reading it and started explaining it.
Okay.
What are we voting on?
Well, I was editing it. I was editing it on the fly. Okay.
Well, do you want to take a minute to write it down?
Yes. Yes. We can vote on the other ones. I think those are clearer. We recommend the PNB immediately issue RFPs for WBAI signal swap, for sale of WBAI, and for leasing management agreement of WBAI. That's one. That's the first one. Local management agreement. Okay. So that's a motion, if there's a second. Thank you. I thought Frank would. Frank always seconds it when everybody's... Okay. Okay, but there's questions, obviously. Go ahead, Sharon.
I like this. I mean, I just think it's a good idea, but personally, I would take out sale. I just think that goes too far right now, and I would just ask make a recommendation that the PNB issue RFPs for a signal swap or for an LMA. That's my personal opinion.
Motivating the motion and then giving it to Frank. There was a question about having knowledge about all the potential options enable a clearer choice. It's not, leading to the sale, but it's giving the information. Because if you did a local management agreement, is that what you said it was, Brian? Local?
local management agreement, for example, you would bar the opportunity of a sale, and that there should be a clear knowledge of what all the choices are. And also, by raising the issue of sale, we're making it clear to the PNB that we think that this is, we're in a disastrous, immediately difficult situation. Frank.
I guess the quest for information, but to me it's kind of scary, and it's almost like starting off on the first step. I imagine it's going to scare the pants off the people at WBI that were even taking that step, you would think. Just make them mad. Because it is kind of scary to even envision, you know, I know we're in that place where we have to, you know, consider all options, and that's what this is doing. But the message that something like that will send to WBI, they're going to be like, they're ready to sell us, they're ready to trade us out. So I guess I'd like to hear from everybody what they really think, you know, about, you know, doing something like that. I really think, you know, looking into something like the archives, what we're going to talk about next is, you know, is a little different than actually looking into the what we're looking at for BI. But, you know, I'm just kind of curious what other people think about it, because, you know, once we do, if we do vote that in, the people at WBI are going to be like, wow, we're up, you know, this is it. They're looking at what we're going to do with us. But So, you know, there's a lot going on over there. All right, so I'm just curious if anybody else wants to weigh in.
Okay, give the thing to
Barbara. Well, I hear what you're saying, Frank, but really I think we're so far down to the last line. We have to do, as I understand it, this motion is for us to gather information about possibilities. And so I think we just have to word it so that even though people in New York are not going to like this, that we are just saying we need to know what would the difference be between these different ways of handling this. I think we need to emphasize that part of the motion.
I mean, maybe we can do it by putting the sale as the last thing in the three, so that we would say local management agreement for BAI, signal swap for BAI, and sale of BAI. So I'll amend it to be that, but I don't know if that's enough. Why don't I have a straw vote? Oh, did you have your hand up? I'm sorry. And so did Craig.
I was just kind of echoing what Frank said. This is doubtless will be disturbing to BAI, who also, you know, it should really be taken up to PNB, although, you know, BAI doesn't have its complement of representation at the PNB now. I mean, it's not that we don't know that you know, they're in very deep financial trouble there, but this seems to be coming somewhat out of the blue here for, you know, toward our LSB. It might have been something that should have been studied more thoroughly beforehand.
Sure. After Joy.
So I just want to say, I want us to all, I like to see the wording reflect our intent and commitment to saving the network and using that language. Yes, we're going to signal WBI. As far as studying and all, this is just another opportunity to study. We got to do something. We got to do something. This is what I'm saying. Let's just do something. It's going to, no matter what we do, if we drop the nickel in the middle of the room and said, this is how we're going to fix the WBI, somebody will have a complaint about that. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Nobody's going to be totally happy. Let's suggest something, do something, move forward, and only as a suggestion, because we can't make the PNB do whatever, anything. So at least having on record how we feel, and please just move forward. Let's just vote on it and put it out there. Y'all can hear me. Yeah. Might have been me. Okay.
I'm just trying. I'm not sure if phrasing it as like RFPs for three different things simultaneously is the way to structure this. I'm just thinking, you know, if we started publicizing or putting out RFPs for the sale or the sure. management agreement or whatever, I mean, it sends a like a completely confusing signal to any other entity out there who might be considering, you know, taking us up on one of those options. So, I don't know. It just doesn't seem to me like that's the best way to phrase it, that we want to do this. We want to study it. We want to develop, you know, revenue projections, et cetera, et cetera. RFPs, I don't think is the way to go.
Well, yeah, I just want to agree with what Joy said that, you know, I think it's very important to say that we want to preserve the network as a whole, and I also think it's very important to say that we are wanting this for informational purposes. I actually think we need to say that because otherwise it does seem a little bit like it's too abrupt, it's going too far. And that's why I kind of agree with Craig also that asking for an RFP, it's like going too far. Like we, in a certain way, we should understand what the various, I mean, I actually think like at our retreat, we did gain an understanding of that. We talked about like how the money would play out in these different situations. So maybe we should, you know, have some sort of informational analysis of the figures of these three. That's what the PNB, you know, should be looking at rather than saying do the RFP. I mean, I don't know. I'm just sort of taking in what everybody has said.
That's, I'm.
I just want to say that you can't get an understanding of what the monies will be unless you get some RFPs. Otherwise, you're making up what you think you would get for those things. And it's really, we don't know, because also the market, I think, is kind of in flux and shifting because of various things that's going on with radio, with locals, little local station stuff, with low power stuff, and the value of, you know, what the value of these things are. Joy?
I know Barbara wants to know, but maybe we could just change it from request for information.
I don't think this mic is cable. Can you pass this one down? Something's going on.
I know it's just a word, but let's just think about this. Maybe we can call it a RFI versus a RFP. But
well,
something like that. I mean, to let people know that we're trying to explore ways of doing this and that we're not committed, because if somebody puts in a proposal, then we got to look at it in a different way than if it's just information gathering. I don't know. Maybe that's not the right word, but something like that.
I don't think that you get proposals from people about whether their willingness to actually spend money on something unless you're asking them for that.
So it seems to me like really what we want is the board to take an action here, one choosing one of these three options, right? I mean, that's really the issue.
We want them to get the information.
We want them to act on it, right? I mean, we want them to gather the information to make the best decision and do something here. So it seems a better way of phrasing this would be that the PNB, you know, choose between option A, B, or C in a way that will, you know, maximize the survival of the network, period. And not that we put out RFPs, which would, you know, if we – anyway, so it's that's the issue.
It's true.
I think
you're right, really, that it's it's asking them to get an RFP so that they have the information to make the decision. But what we really are asking them to make a decision between and suggest, and we could say what we think is that something must be done with with WBAI. Either it's a signal swap or a local management agreement or an outright sale. And until perhaps RFPs are issued by the PNB, there will not be enough information about what those choices look like. So we are urging that consideration, to that discussion to happen at the board, something like that. I'm working. Go ahead. Call on people while I type.
Check. I'm just making sure this mic works also. Is there no way to, look at the market in the surrounding area that could give us an idea of what we're looking at, or do we have to really, you know, have a request for proposals, there's no way to like look around where we are, you know, similar areas. So yeah, I'm just trying to say if there's like a way to find out, you know, an approximation of what that would look like by just comparing, you know, other places around. But I guess you'd have to submit a request for other places, or I don't know. So
yeah.
I'm just checking if there's an alternative method to find out, you know, the value or the worth or whatever you're looking for.
Brian?
Test. Going to Sharon's earlier point, my understanding is a radio broker can tell you roughly what the value of a WBAI has a commercial license. They're in the commercial spectrum. That's why they're a very valuable station. Can tell you what roughly what the market price is per listener that a signal can reach. The unknowns that you would need an RFP for are if you do a signal swap, what could you swap for? In other words, what would be the station you got? How many people within WBAI's current footprint could it reach? And that's kind of important for assessing whether that's a good move. And for an LMA, you know, there'd be two questions. Is there someone who's willing and able to pick up all of BAI's bills and pay us enough to cover our overhead, right? Is there someone who would enter into an agreement, and is there someone who we have some degree of confidence would run WBAI in a manner consistent with Pacifica's mission, because we're maintaining ownership of the license. So I don't think those two you can answer in the abstract, but it might make sense if you want to strip out the language about asking about a sale. I think it's answerable without an RFP, kind of like what the liquidation roughly what the liquidation value of a given license is.
Mark has put something here. Wait a minute. Mark, put it back because okay. He has a substitute motion that WBAI be operated remotely from the remaining Pacifica stations and that only the minimum required staff be maintained on site. This would last 1 year and stations would provide special fundraising actions to support BAI. Programming would be provided by remaining Pacifica stations, and the WBAI local station board be tasked for local fundraising during the interim. After 1 year, the Pacifica National Board would decide whether or not to continue this action or take other action. During this time of exploration of other options would be reviewed and presented at the end of the year. So that's a substitute motion. And I just want to remind people that nothing we say here has anything to do about what will happen at the PMB.
Right.
But anyway, Sharon and then Joy. Is there a second for a substitute motion?
Yeah, I'll second that.
Okay, so we are now talking about a substitute motion.
Okay.
It's not on.
Is it on?
It is on.
Hello? Test. Okay.
It's not on.
It's just not loud, but I think it's
all right.
Well, let them see it here.
Okay. I think maybe a way to do it would be to ask that maybe this is a somewhat substitute motion, but let me just say this. I think the way to do it might be to ask that we really strongly encourage the PMB to choose among one of the four options, repeater station, local management, LMA, signal swap, or a sale, to choose one and then to pursue one. That's what we want. We don't care how they decide, but we want them to decide.
Ditto. I made the suggestion at the CAB. I've made it at some other meetings as well. The biggest thing we have to pay for the tower and transmitter or whatever. So whatever we get, we got to have that every month. And so I was thinking, and I agree with Mark, we have enough radio created between KPFK, KPFT, and I don't know what WBAI is doing in KPFA, that we can just signal our stuff in, board op, we got to pay for, and that's pretty much it. I mean, there's a few other things, but limiting down and trying to limit the expenses right now and give us time to make a decision about one of these other choices. So I would like to include in the amendment, amend the proposal
to include the idea of a repeater station for a length of time, maybe even if we specify a length of time. But I want that. I would like that to be an option. And again, I do understand this is just a recommendation to the BNB, and they can do what they want. But this is the deal about it. If we don't put it out in the universe, it's not going to get picked up. So we need to say what we think can be and contribute to it as best we can, and hoping that the good vibe and the best aspirations that we have will somehow fall over to the PNB, and they will move and do something.
Okay. I have Rich and then Frank.
Oh, sorry.
And right now I think we're operating a little bit, if you'll permit me, outside of Robert's Rules of Order with, you know, and let's, you know, we're trying to craft something that we're comfortable, you know, passing. And we're, okay, go ahead.
I wanted to point out a few things. There are some minimum staffing requirements involved. So if you were to do even an LMA or something, you're still required by FCC rules to have two station employees, which would probably be like a manager and an engineer or something like that. However, if you're trying to maintain CPB qualification, it's five full-time employees. Now, I don't know whether WBAI has fallen below the CPB qualification in terms of fundraising and ratings, because those are two of the criteria they have. And it may be that a number of the Pacifica stations now have fallen below that with their fundraising. And that may mean that, you know, you wouldn't have to have five full-time employees in order to maintain the CPB status for that station. The other thing is, selling a station right now is probably going to be very difficult. CBS Radio has been trying to sell off their stations now for almost a year. Now, I know they're asking a lot of money for them, but they're not getting any nibbles. Clear Channel has $21 billion in debt and can not even service the interest on their debt. They're having serious problems. They're adding about $1 billion a year just in interest. So they're probably going to collapse, and there'll be a lot of stations available.
Right.
So the market's not real good.
Right.
KUSP in Santa Cruz just went dark because they couldn't find a buyer. That was a public radio station in Santa Cruz. So, you know, it's not a great time to be trying to sell a station. There is a model for rebroadcasting another station, KFCF, rebroadcast KPFA. It's up on a satellite channel. It means putting a receiver at maybe WBAI. They could put that in. There's contact closures. When KPFA runs a calendar or a promo, there's a contact closure that goes over. And in Fresno, the KPFA calendar doesn't run. The KPFA promo doesn't run. A local one is substituted. That infrastructure is there and easy to implement at this time. I'm just throwing that out there. Those are ideas that are out there.
Yes, you're next.
So, like, I had a couple questions about, like, what if we did that? What happens to, like, local programming that people enjoy, or that is, like, up to whatever standard you want to behold local programming to? Doesn't KFCF broadcast some local shows? So, I mean, I was just reading an email about a local programmer there, the taxi guy. I don't know if you guys... at WBAI, like, would that guy be off the air in the middle of the night whenever he's on? He's been on for, like, many, many, many years. So, you know, so who gets wiped out, who don't get wiped out if we do something like piping in sound? I know we're doing okay, KBFA or whatever you want to call what we're doing, but I just imagine getting piped in from somewhere else, how we would react, you know? So, I mean, is there, like, a medium thing that we could pipe in part of it or, you know? And so I'd like to see, like, a breakdown of how they would do it. I know it's, like, still just – we're just discussing something that somebody else has control over, but those are things I would like to know, like, who gets to stay, who gets to – who gets piped in, you know?
You're going beyond, I think, the terms of this discussion here.
Okay,
I
mean, well, my other thing was –
do that.
So how much funds – I think part of somebody's one of the – I think it was the substitute motion was – like, 1 year, ask the LSB and make sure that the LSB there raises funds. Like, how much funds do we raise as LSB? What are we going to ask them to raise? You know, how much funds does our KPFA LSB raise? And in that substitute motion, I think it said something about the local station board taking responsibility to do some fundraising, or did I hear it wrong? So that's my questions, the local programming and, like, asking the local LSB there to raise funds, because you've seen how much funds we raise at LSB. I know we've raised a little bit, but you know, not something that's going to be dramatic and, you know, pull WBAI out from the brink.
Anthony.
Also, there seems to be an assumption in this motion language that there's WBAI, as it is now, is somehow institutionally incapable of succeeding, that there's something between the programming and the tower rents or this or that or something that the total picture makes for a radio station that isn't viable, but somehow some other partner can make it viable. I'm just wondering if maybe, and I haven't lived in New York, I don't know the situation on the ground there, but it is it's the biggest metropolitan area in the country. WBAI theoretically ought to be thriving, so I'm wondering if really what's needed is just a change of management and new management with you know, marching orders to right the ship.
Okay. Brian, and then I'm going to summarize where we are, and we'll try and figure out where to go from here. Brian.
Yeah, I think Anthony kind of raises the crux of the question, which is why with a, I believe it's 100,000-watt effective radiated power license in the middle of the dial in the largest media market in the world, we can't pay our bills. And for as long as I've been involved in governance, the entire discussion around WBAI in New York has involved two competing factions completing to tell the story of why the other one is to blame for all the problems. And curiously, those conversations have never landed at any concrete solutions. My impression, and I visited WBAI a couple of times, is that it's gotten into a hole that is very deep and very hard to pull out of. It's spending more than half the year in fund drive. As a consequence, it has very little audience left to speak of. It's down to about six staff and no one who's particularly good at asking for money on the air. It has all the high overhead of operating in New York and none of the audience. And if you were somehow able to convince brilliant management to come in, which is a hurdle in and of itself, WBAI now carries some stigma, you would also need enough capital that they could bring in some talent and operate at a loss for a while they rebuild an audience, which is something they don't have. I mean, the facilities, when I finished their studio, they have one studio in their new space. The walls do not extend all the way to the ceiling. It's not even like the room's not soundproof. There's a foot and a half gap between the wall and the ceiling. And because of how the skylights are positioned in that building, it can't be sealed up. I mean, it's not anything approaching studio quality facilities. When I visited, there was a stack of premiums boxed up in the mailroom that had been sitting there for some time because they couldn't afford postage to send them out, even though they were pending, you know, paying someone to do that work. I turned on the radio when I was visiting family in New York 3 weeks ago. I heard someone come on, announced she was doing a fundraising special for WBAI, and within a few minutes, her microphone had shut off, and she didn't appear to realize it, because for the next 20 minutes, all you could hear was her guest speaking on the phone periodically, punctuated by long silences, when presumably the host was speaking. And you just have to ask yourself, like, if a microphone in a studio accidentally got shut off at KPFA, how long would it be before somebody came rushing in the door, right? The phones would be ringing off the hook in the news department with someone saying there's something wrong on the air. One of our managers, Michael Yoshida, is like, got the air on in his office the entire 10 hours a day he's there. Same goes for Quincy and Laura. Like, the fact that this, and it was 20, it was unlistenable. I turned it out before it got fixed, right? But the middle of the day, the host microphone is shut off. They don't know. The engineer doesn't know. The station management doesn't know. No one's picking up the phone if anyone's calling in. I mean, what does it say about how much there is there that's left to build from? Anyway.
Okay. What I have here is something that, and I don't, Mark has the substitute motion he sent me, and I don't know if he's still, and I'll ask him by looking once I read this.
I got it.
What I... Yeah, I've got it, Mark. Any case, like I said, and I don't know if you heard, we're not doing Robert's Rules. So I put together on the basis of what people said the following and see if this captures it. The KPFA LSB understands that our precious Pacifica network is at risk of financial collapse. After a look at the history of the bleed from WBAI, all of our national resources, we believe that some action is required regarding WBAI. We urge the PNB to explore the potentials and impacts of repeater station, signal swap, local management agreement, and the sale of WBAI.
Second.
Okay. Three or four? What? The one
four.
I just read.
Oh. She read four. She added the repeater station.
Right. I added repeater station.
Okay, right. Yeah, that was first.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And I just asked Mark, and he hasn't replied yet. Mark?
Should be able to hear him.
We should be able to hear you.
Yes.
Is this, so that's okay?
I'm here.
And is it okay what we said, the thing I just read?
Repeater station is not exactly it. Repeater station is something else entirely.
Okay.
What this would be is a remote controlled station programmed by the other four stations.
Okay, so let's add that. The impacts of repeat, is there...
Remotely programmed station instead of repeater station.
Okay, remotely programmed station. Comma, signal swap, local management agreement, and the sale of WBAI. Okay? Okay, Mark?
Okay, I would like to make one point.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Mark.
Although it's an option, not a good one, because there's no way you can replace where WBI is with anything else in the market, whether available or not, the position of the transmitter and power provides coverage that cannot be compared without an expensive and excessively powerful substitution for it. It would actually cost us more likely to swap the signal than maintain it where we have it now.
Okay, well, in any case, what we're doing is we're suggesting that the PNB explore the potentials and impacts of remotely programmed station, signal swap, what happened to my mic?
It's still on.
Local management agreement. Is it still on?
I hear you.
Okay.
It's just not loud.
And the, okay. And this, okay. And the, okay. And the sale of WBAI. So it's asking the PM, we're urging the PMB to look at these things regarding BAI. Okay? We good? All in favor, please raise your hands. Okay. I'll check with you online guys in a minute. Opposed? Two opposed, and how many others? Okay, let's get the yeses again. And I'll vote yes, even though it's... Okay, and Mark, do you vote yes on this?
Yes.
Okay, Scott?
Yes.
Yes, okay. So 11 to 2, and any abstentions? I guess not. That's everybody. Okay, so 11 to 2. What? Yes, I'll email you. Yes, I'll text that. Okay. So that is the BAI thing. let Sharon, you come up with the language on the whatcha-jigger, archives.
Can I I do think it's slightly different in this instance. I think it's appropriate in this instance to ask for an RFP because it's much more specific. We're asking them for a specific thing, and we actually are seeking, you know, actual proposals to deal with this. So I just want to make a little bit of a clarity on that point. I do think a RFP, a request for a proposal, is appropriate here. So I guess what I would say is I should write it down. Maybe I should work on the language. Okay, go ahead.
Here, take this.
Beginning the same way that the LSB, KPFA LSB's advising the PNB, or what did we say? Recommending? Urging the PNB to distribute requests for proposals to outsource digitization of Pacifica archive tapes, specifically to educational institutions, with the understanding that Pacifica would retain ownership of these materials. Well, the Library of Congress, I don't know, could you consider that an educational institution? I didn't want to put a name in specifically like that.
Wait, can I? I do have something in writing.
Okay.
Because I do think we shouldn't limit it to educational. So this is what I wrote down based on what you were saying. The KPFA LSB urges the PNB to seek requests for proposals to outsource digitization of Pacifica archives with the understanding that Pacifica would retain ownership. We don't have to say where. We can just say that we request, we seek RFPs.
Sounds good to me.
So it's important to me that we're not just talking about shipping the tapes out, having them digitized and shipped back to us, but that we're talking about, like, transferring custody. The actual physical archive is so big, we're paying to rent two giant storage units, and there's concerns about the seismic stability of KPFK's building, where the remainder of the collection is currently housed. And, you know, they have to be kept temperature-controlled, humidity-controlled, and so forth. So if our circumstances get rockier and, say, we're not keeping up with the payments on the storage lockers, that's a serious threat to our heritage. I personally would feel much safer if they were in some university's vault than in ours.
Okay, well, I'm okay with adding outsource to digitize or what? Or
digitization and storage.
And storage. Yeah, storage. Mm-hmm. Yeah, add storage and digitize. I guess that's the word, digitize.
Digitization.
It is digitization? Okay. At least I said it right.
That should go first, digitization, and storage second.
I mean, my only other thought, I'm not trying to mess up the motion, because we did talk about a lot more than that. I mean, we talked about the archives, and we talked about how they would, you know, we would have access and things like that. So I don't know if we want to put that in this motion or if it gets too complicated.
I think you should. I think you should with, you know.
Okay, I should have written the motion before I started all this.
Oh, well, I have a motion on the governance structure if you want to be working on
it. Okay, yeah. Let's do it that way.
Okay. Okay. I'm shifting topics. You can come in.
About that.
About what? The archives?
About the archives. So, like, what does the people at the Pacific Archives now, they're the ones that are digitizing there at their building? No? So what's going to happen to the people that are currently digitizing and you know, I guess the storage that you understand, but the people who's digitizing now, what will happen to them?
Okay. Brian, are you ready to answer, Frank?
Yeah. So because when they do digitization, they do it with federal grants. And the preservation and digitization has to be done to a specific standard set by, I don't know who, the Library of Congress or the Preservation Task Force. They box them and ship them in a climate-controlled van to someone in Philadelphia who bakes the reel-to-reel tapes at a specific temperature in order to stabilize them before dubbing them into a computer to digitize them. It costs, I believe, close to $200 a tape to digitize doing it that way. So what the people in the archive do with regards to the tape is they're cataloging them, right? They have a lot of tapes that they don't know what's on them, or they've lost track of what's on them, and creating kind of archival metadata and then deciding what's going to be digitized. The actual digitization happens offsite. It's already outsourced, as a matter of fact.
Okay. In any case, Sharon will come up with some language. I have some language which I think we'll probably tweak again, but here's something to start with on the structure question. The KPFA LSB understands that our precious Pacifica network is at risk. After looking at the structure of the PMB, we think the structure itself is problematic. We urge the PMB to look at the bylaws to restructure the board to be smaller with broader director eligibility and clearer lines of authority to enable better function. Okay, is that all right, or is that, what do people think of that? Worthless? Worth something? Forget about it? Yes? What? The KPFA LSB understands that our precious Pacifica network is at risk. And I'm now going to refer to our retreat. After looking at the structure of the PNB, we think the structure itself is a problem. We urge the PNB to look at bylaw changes to restructure the board to be smaller with broader director eligibility and clearer lines of authority to enable functionality. Okay, so we're wordsmithing. To enable. Do people want to do anything about this or not? Okay, function. Yes, Craig.
Well, I don't mean to sound like a pessimist, but I think it's a waste of time. I mean, we're asking the PNB. I think the first two have some juice to them, but asking the PNB, the most dysfunctional body within Pacifica, to undertake something to review how they're structured. I mean, I think it's pointless, frankly.
Could I have something to say about that? You're not wrong. However, it does make a big difference that even 11 people agree that this is something that needs to be said.
Okay, are we going to just vote? Are we ready to vote? Burton.
Is that on?
I may have misunderstood the intent, but what I heard was, and I'm paraphrasing poorly, more direct lines of authority coming from PNB, from Pacifica, scares the hell out of me. They already are dipping into our bank account. So that helped me to understand how urging them to do something to take more power in a small, even though a smaller group, would be helpful to us.
That's a very good point. And it's something that when we were talking about this, when Bill and I were going over this and looking at how to make Pacifica actually viable, we realized that what we were designing was something that right now we would really oppose. That we, you know, a motion that Barbara made earlier that we all agreed to was something that we, you know, stay out of our bank account and so on. But actually, here's a clause we could add to this, or take steps to distribute the licenses to the various stations. I mean, you know, either it's got to be centralized so it can work, or it's got to blow apart, because one of the two things is going to happen. And if it blows apart, it's not clear that the stations will exist at all. Brian, and then Bert.
I just want to expand on what Carol says. I think we kind of have the worst of both worlds right now.
Yeah.
We all share something we can't avoid sharing, which is liability, right? WBAI's debts become our debts because we're one corporation. So as soon as we're in court with somebody because we owe them money, they don't care which pocket of Pacifica it's coming from. But the authority within the organization is so diffuse that it's hard to create accountability for actions or inactions, right? So, like, the executive director reports directly to the board, but so does the CFO. The CFO oversees staff who the executive director can't control. The executive director controls staff who the CFO can't control. The CFO is supposed to issue checks, but if there's not enough money, they need the ED to make layoffs. Every general manager answers to a local board and to a national executive director. There's a lot of, I don't like what mom's telling me, so I'm going to ask dad. No, I'm serious. This is like the organizational culture we have. What it does is it just creates kind of paralysis, right? I think when you have clear lines of authority, one of the results is that people can be held accountable for how they use or don't use their authority, for acting or fail to act. And right now, it's far too easy for everybody involved to point the finger at somebody else. And people are generally punished for taking initiative.
Here's something that, well, is provocative, and maybe is a bad way to go here. You were next, actually, Burton. Okay. So beginning from the beginning of the thing I read and adding something. The KPFA-LSB understands that our precious Pacifica network is at risk. After looking at the structure of the PMB, we think the structure itself is a problem. We urge the PNB to look at the bylaws, to restructure the board to be smaller with broader director eligibility and more direct lines of authority to enable improved function, or consider dissolving the national network, splitting the money, the debt, and the money and the debt based on past liabilities, and distributing the licenses. Well, it's saying either take care of the national network so we actually can function, or give us our licenses and dissolve. Face the facts. It does. I bet. I mean, is it capturing people, or do people have? Sharon.
Well, I have a problem with that because I just think it goes too far. I just don't think we should say that we want to dissolve the network. I just don't think we should say that personally, my opinion.
Well, it's not saying we should dissolve the network, that we want to dissolve the network. It says either take care of our precious network or give us our license so that we can exist. But don't kill us all. The KPFA-LSB understands that our precious Pacifica network is at risk. After looking at the structure of the PNB, we think the structure itself is a problem.
We urge the PMB to look at the bylaws, to restructure the board, to be small. Okay. Restructure the board to be smaller with broader director eligibility and more direct lines of authority to enable improved function. Or with broader director eligibility. This came out of a discussion. Well, no, let me just say, this came out of a discussion that when you have directors from each board, we have parochial interests in that board to protect our things, so that it's not a board that has an interest to protect Pacifica. It has, you know, BAI isn't BAI, KPFA is KPFA, so. Yeah, and there are some provisions in that already in the bylaws that you have at-large people and so on. But to say that, and I think it's true in the bylaws, I can't remember for sure, that, at this point you have to have been a member of the local LSB for a year before you can be a director of Pacifica. Why? Why not somebody who is, somebody who's a radio person who's shows up around and we think, God, they'd make a great PNB director because they know radio and national stuff and they'd be for Pacifica. So that's what's the broader director eligibility and then more direct lines of authority. With power to enable improved functionality, to improved function, to enable improved function. So you want to stop there. But I think Burton is raising something, which is, do we really want to stop there? Do we want, what we're saying is, let Lydia come in and raid our treasury to save the network.
They already do.
No, but we're endorsing that with this. Unless we're saying, give us our own licenses. Burton.
I am very much in accord with what we are attempting to do, but I'm troubled by our sort of attempting to draft something so important on the fly.
Okay.
And therefore, I hope I'm not tromping on Roberts, but I would like to move to table this matter until the next meeting and ask the committee to meet and bring us a sharper focus with today's discussion in mind.
Okay. The governance part. We'll do the one that we already approved, and then you have archives language. Go ahead.
I second that motion if it needs a second on the tabling. Okay. It's kind of long. I did sort of say it before when I was reading all this stuff, so I tried to incorporate. So I'm just going to read it, then I'm going to give it to Craig. KPFA LSB urges the PNB to seek RFPs to outsource digitization and storage of the Pacifica archives with the provisions that, 1, Pacifica would retain ownership of the archives. 2, all Pacifica stations would have access to the digitized archives to create premiums for fund drives and for other shows. 3, that would allow the successful proposer to market the digitized archives and pay a royalty to Pacifica on all sales. 4, require periodic reports from the successful proposer regarding the number of tapes digitized and sales of archives materials.
I have an amendment. that you add a phrase at the beginning that says, in order to preserve our precious archives.
I like that.
Please. Right.
In order to preserve our precious.
Our precious archives.
Our precious archives. Right.
Yes.
Precious.
Okay. Are we ready to vote on that?
Yeah, ready to vote. We want to get Carol some time.
Yeah.
Okay. So all...
Could we just read it again?
Read it again. Here.
Here, why don't you read it?
Speed read it if you like.
In order to preserve our precious archives, KPFA LSB urges the PMB to seek RFPs to outsource digitization and storage of the Pacifica archives with the provisions that, number one, Pacifica would retain ownership of the archives. Number two, all Pacifica stations would have access to the digitized archives to create premiums for fund drives and for other shows. Number three, would allow the successful proposer to market the digitized archives to pay and pay a royalty to Pacifica on all the sales. And number four, require periodic reports from the successful proposer regarding the number of tapes digitized and the sales of archived materials.
Okay, Mark, what do you say? Oh, that was, I opened my mail so I could, okay. Okay, all those in favor, please raise your hand. Okay, it's unanimous here. Scott, what do you say, Scott? Scott, hello. Calling Scott. Okay, we don't know from Scott. Okay, and Mark has left. Mark has left the meeting. Okay, so that passes. All right, where are we? I think we're in CAB.
Carol.
Hey,
Carol.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. The CAB is working on the annual community needs assessment, integrating material from the recent meetings that we had. The Community Advisory Board held a meeting on July 16th about the future of Pacifica. We especially want to thank Sabrina, who spoke about programming the proposal. Thanks, Sabrina. For Pacifica-wide program sharing of news and public affairs, and also Sharon, who talked about upcoming Pacifica elections and also about possible options for the network. Peter Frank talked about governance, and we had audio recording of Sam Agarwal talking about Pacifica finances. Marky and Joy were there. Thank you all for your help with that. For purpose of clarification, there were some questions about the CAB holding a meeting about Pacifica, and I just wanted to clarify that the CPB regulations specify that a community advisory board may establish and follow its own schedule and agenda.
Thank you.
Thank you. The KPFA CAB organized this meeting about Pacifica to explore the goals, services, and policy decisions of Pacifica and how they affect KPFA. Because there is no CAB at the Pacifica level to assess network-wide needs, it's even more important for CABs from the stations to have an opportunity to assess the urgent, challenging, and complex situation that you all are talking about today. An example of something recently that CAB members have gotten positive feedback about is the coverage of the National Green Party Convention in Houston, where Listeners commented on the skillful KPFT production, interweaving speeches and commentary with insightful presentations, including Ann Garrison's presentation about the workshops that had happened during the week. This sharing of KPFA and KPFT resources across the nation and beyond with Pacifica stations and affiliates highlighted in an inspiring way the importance and power of cross-network collaboration at this challenging time. And I wanted to also share with you a proposal that's been developed out of the Community Advisory Board Task Force on News and Public Affairs, which is related to that. Whereas this is a resolution, a proposal to the PNB, and it says, whereas Pacifica presently has a system for program sharing among stations and affiliates throughout Pacifica's audio port and Pacifica Announce, and whereas at this time there is limited planning, communication, and coordination nationally of Pacifica programming, and whereas the Pacifica network and some Pacifica stations are in a state of financial crisis with decreases in listenership, membership, and equipment, and whereas additional program sharing could increase listenership, reduce production and salary costs, and give stations the necessary time to reorganize, do outreach, and build membership while continuing to operate, and whereas there has been significant technological changes in the field of broadcasting involving use of social media and the emergence of new independent media sources for news and public affairs, be it resolved that the Pacifica National Board will work with the Pacifica Programming Committee, which is considering this proposal, and station management and Pacifica affiliate coordinator to develop and implement plans for coordination and expansion of Pacifica programming at this urgent time. And this could involve review of Pacifica's news and public affairs programming and program sharing practices, assessment of the national election coverage, expansion of the use of AudioPort through through increased coordination of Pacifica program-wide development and sharing options, support new program plans for financially vulnerable stations wanting to fill in or strengthen programming, identify and make available new, cost-effective, independent news sources for national and international news, and eliminate the purchase of corporate-contributed sources, and to provide Pacifica News and Public Affairs programmers with social media platforms to access multimedia segments to use on the air or on station websites. And last of all, I emailed to you all last night a nomination form for Barbara Hammer for your consideration. Barbara has attended two recent CAB meetings, and I can invite her to come to the next LSB meeting if you want. Any questions?
Sabrina wanted to say something. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Thanks. I wish I talked loud. I don't. Yeah, just to follow up with the presentation that I made to the CAB on behalf of the PNB Programming Committee, Subcommittee. I'm still learning all the different names and labels and whatnot. So when we had our last meeting, teleconference meeting, we were looking to look into the proposal that Carol just presented, as well as we went into detail about our coverage of the conventions and how we could improve on that. The biggest issue that we had was with promoting it. There was no promotion. There was literally no promotion except amongst our own individual circles and whatnot. So we want to expand and expound on that, especially since this election year is so critical. And we have there were three themes that were suggested. One was war and peace. Second one was environmental crisis, the crisis that we're in right now. Number three, social, racial justice, and injustice. So we're hoping to really hone in on those issues. Let's see here. Now, this was actually drafted by Michael Novick, who's the chair of our committee, our programming committee via the PNB. In these efforts, we would strive to create a kind of ongoing town hall of the air, incorporating more of the many-to-many ethos of social media, both through the use of social media platforms and by allowing listeners to participate via emails, tweets, call-ins, comments on the website, live streaming shows on Facebook, et cetera. The idea is here that is that the greater attention to politics that arises during the election campaign period starting in August and building up post-Labor Day through Election Day would provide a kind of lab for Pacifica to experiment in developing partnerships, incorporating social media, cross-station collaboration on a finite-focused project that would also allow us to seize the day and attract new listeners, many of whom are clearly capable of giving, as the flood of electoral donations to Sanders, Stein, and even Trump from small donors attests. And it's a huge run-on sentence that I did not write. That was Michael Novick. So just to comment or to add on to what Carol was just saying and to add on to the whole conversation of the day, the programming committee is doing everything that they can to try to preserve the archives that are being created now as far as the archives committee is concerned and to keep everything, I don't know, solid as far as what Pacifica has created and what we're looking to create in the future. So, done.
Joy. I just want to thank the CAB and Carol for all of their work and their attention to. But one thing that was said at the CAB that I think should be repeated, and I did say it, but other people I think agree with me too, we don't have a dearth of ideas. We all got great ideas. Our issue is who's going to do them? You know, who has the power? We need someone with power to say, do this, do this, do that. And if it doesn't get done, this is what's going to happen to you. That's what we need. We don't have that. And I don't know. I'm only saying this because I want to put it out there for the world who hopefully listens to the three people who listen to this after, that we need a structure, an emergency structure of some time that we can put into place temporarily to give the power to someone to implement this stuff or at least report back why it's not being done or what needs to be done. And I know it sounds non-democratic and not non-community, but in times of crisis, sometimes people, so we do have to release our power to someone and give them the opportunity. We're so afraid of it, but anyway, I just want to put that out there. I think that's really what we need. I hope the PNB is listening to me.
Okay. Sharon? And then maybe we can wrap up the CAB report.
I just want to ask, do we need to approve your nomination that you've suggested? Is that what you would like?
Well, my suggestion would be to invite Barbara to come to the next meeting so you can meet her and she can do a presentation here. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Sharon.
Okay. Sure, it'll be on the agenda, and it'll give people a chance to review the nomination form. Yeah.
Maybe we can have it earlier in the schedule, especially if somebody's going to be coming to speak.
Sure.
Yes.
Okay. So let me point out, Carol has stepped out momentarily, but it's 3:30 now. We have some large issues left on the agenda. I get the sense that everybody's energy is kind of spent here. Joy beat you to it. Joy made the motion to adjourn, and it's seconded. And so I don't believe this is debatable, right? So let me call for a vote. Motion to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Aye. Aye. Wait. Okay. Wait. Let's have hands up here. So let's see. Okay. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, and I'll vote for yes, so that's 5 yes, and no, 1, 2, 2 no's, and
more to go, is that why?
And 1, what's your vote?
I'll vote no.
Okay, so 5 yes, 3 no, 1 abstention.
I'll
so,
say no to you. If they still want to talk about something.
The last item.
We have another agenda item. I mean,
we got 30 minutes left.
Excuse me.
It's a vote. Yeah.
Okay, wait a minute. We haven't adjourned yet, so there's some order. Here, give it to Margie. She's speaking.
I'm not Margie, but I'll speak.
I would like to just hear, since we did put this LSB fundraising item on the agenda, did anybody come here prepared to say they'd brought an idea? Is something they're working on?
I have a motion to offer.
A motion? Well, what about a fundraising idea?
You're skipping ahead of stuff that other people might want to talk about.
Point of personal privilege, Madam Chair.
Point of order. I think we need to finalize the motion to adjourn, and then
okay,
we can decide.
Okay, are we adjourning?
I think we need
count?
To redo the count.
Okay. All those in favor of adjourning, please raise your hand. Okay. All right. So we're going forward. So old business. All right. I'll give you a very quick report. Yes.
I move to suspend the rules of order in order to take up LSB fundraising right away.
Okay. All right. So Burton's.
Second.
All in favor, it's passed. Burton.
I move that KPFA LSB set it as its own fundraising goal that prior to the next KPFA fund drive, we establish 5 matching funds of $1,000 each for use by the station during its next fund drive. It is the intent of this motion that this goal be met by pledges from board members and their personal contacts. If this is passed, I have one comment to make.
I rarely say point of order, but point of order, there was no vote taken on the motion to suspend the rules, and if I'm not mistaken, it takes 2/3 majority.
Okay. Correct. Okay. All those in favor of suspending the rules, please raise your hands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 yes, and out of, and no's? 3 no's. That's 2/3. Okay. All right, so Burton, do we have a second for Burton's motion? Second. Okay, and you wanted to say something to motivate it.
If it's passed, I will kickstart the first $1,000 with a personal pledge of $500.
Okay. All right. Sharon.
Well, I just have to speak against it because personally there's no way I could remotely come up with that kind of money or get people that I know to come up with that kind of money. I'm sorry. It's just not within the realm of possibility.
Okay. Joy.
I'm too going to vote no, but one of the things I want us to think about is money is essential. Don't get me wrong. And if I had $1,000, I'd pocket down, but I don't. But the other part is, I want us to think in terms of growing resources and people to listen to this radio station, people who do have $1,000 plunked down. So if we want to put our energy towards that $1,000, only if whatever the funds we raise, only if it's used to hiring development worker or somebody to develop it. Because otherwise, specifically just raising money and just giving it away, giving it to KPFA so that Pacifica can raise the coffers, forget it. If we do something specific, life for development or something, I would go for that. But as it turns out, I'm not going to be able to submit to contribute very much as an unpaid staff member of this organization.
Brian and Sabrina and Sharon and Craig.
So I just first want to point out that the motion sets a goal, right? It doesn't create an obligation. I also want to break down the numbers. There's 25 members of this board, so that's $200 each. If you're trying to bring the masses to the station, then that's 8 new members at $25 a pop. Okay? So that's doable, right? And then you have done your part. In fact, Burton's more than done his part, so someone else can slack off on his account. And the third thing I want to say is I think we should be mindful of what we saw in our financial report. You know, keeping the station on air costs about $8,000 a day. A day. So let's try to put at least a drop in the bucket.
Well, first of all, thanks, Burton. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for offering to put it up. And, I'm a part of the unpaid staff. On top of that, unemployed. So, does make it difficult. But thank you, Brian, for breaking it down, how we can bring more bodies in, like Joy suggested, $25 a pop, 8 people. I guess we need to work on a timetable for that as well. But on my running platform, I put on there that, you know, there the suggestion of having someone be a development director on a contingent basis of them being able to raise money within a 3-month period or a 6-month period. Nobody's taken that idea to heart, so I want to bring that up again as, you know, a possibility. Basically, they have to come from a sales, you know, background, et cetera. I even volunteered myself, so maybe somebody could follow up on that.
Okay. Any other conversation on for or against this proposal of this goal? Craig?
Well, I'm not opposed to us raising money. $200 even for me is a real challenge. It seems to me like, I guess, ultimately it's a drop in the bucket. To me, the bigger problem is things like our large donors dropping off, which Quincy has mentioned. And you can see it in our fundraising and the bequests and that kind of thing. That's real money that we're losing. And I wonder whether there's something that we as a board can do. I mean, maybe it's some of us meeting with large donors or having a party. Or I don't know. I don't know what you do to, like, entice people with money to give money on that scale. But it seems like if we could use the authority of our board to do that, to try to revitalize that, that would be better spent than us sort of turning our pockets inside out to create matching grants, which is important, but it's a drop in the bucket.
All right. If people aren't going to speak on this motion but come up with other ideas, I have not cut people off, but I'm going to. Sharon.
I was just going to say, I feel like we are being limited by having a motion on the table and we have short time. I think we should open the discussion up for fundraising proposals.
Okay. Well, we've got one. Let's vote it up and down and move along. Okay. Okay, but we've got a motion, so all in favor.
Let's have it read a second time, please.
Reread the motion. I move that the LSP. Okay.
KPFA LSP set as its own fundraising goal that prior to the next KPFA fund drive, we establish 5 matching funds of $1,000 each for use by the station during its next fund drive. It is the intent of this motion that this goal be met by pledges from board members and their personal contacts.
Okay. All right, so there it is. All in favor, please raise your hand. Craig, are you counting and voting? Okay, are you voting? Okay, all right. Noes. Abstentions. 2 abstentions, 2 noes. Okay. Yes.
I'd like to announce that the Kickstart fund is now up to $700. Brian has kicked in $200 more.
Okay, good. Okay,
and if I may, for everybody, if this works on a matching basis at the station, that should create at least $10,000 if it's a success.
Right.
And very often we go over matching. So please consider that in terms of what we can achieve.
Okay, let's get to the broader discussion of fundraising. Okay, we're moving along. Sharon.
Well, I did talk very briefly with Quincy while he was here, and he had the idea of having a gala dinner. And I actually think we should work on this. And he was having the idea, this was his idea, of having various people within the community that are like supporters, that are like, you know, relatively famous people. I'm just not going to name names right here, but, you know, people that support us that are well known in the community come be keynote speakers at our dinner, or that they sit at a table and people would pay a certain amount of money to be at a table with these people. I actually think that would be a great way to actually bring in money to create press and publicity for our thing, and something that we all can do. And it's a new way of creating funding. I would totally support that and be willing to work on that. That's just my Quincy.
Okay. Brian.
I think it's a good idea, too. It's a lot of work. We've done things like that. It was years ago, but we've done things like that. Do you want to craft a motion asking management to kind of bring back a more elaborated proposal? You know, kind of telling them it's something we want them to prioritize?
I think we should just start working on it personally. I don't think we need a motion or anything. Okay. I think we can just agree to do it. That's why I just think we should talk about ideas here. Right. I don't think we have to do anything formally, and that's just how I feel.
Also, I think Quincy announced a fundraising meeting next Tuesday or something like that. I thought he did. Well, he did. He did. Anyway, so, right. So we'll check, but anyway, I'll work on it also. Okay. Other ideas? Selling artwork. Underway. Right. Okay.
Wait, Quincy had another idea.
What did you say? I can't hear you, Sharon.
Quincy had another idea.
Microphone.
Quincy had another idea, but I can't remember it.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to conclude this.
Okay.
Nobody else.
Sure.
Does.
No, really, point.
Quinn has an idea.
Okay. Well, Quincy had also mentioned that he had asked the board to have a development committee to help him. And I don't know if that's the other
that's
guy you
I'm
were thinking about. Yeah. Okay. So.
I think he's having a meeting on Tuesday.
Is that, well, that's, I mean, sure, he may have called a meeting, but that's not, I mean, that didn't come out of us, and it seems like if that's something we're going to do, we ought to do it, right? We ought to get people to volunteer for that, right?
Well, I think we just got two or three.
I don't think we should call it a committee because, of course,
right.
that raises all the rules. I think we should just call it a task force or whatever we
right.
want to do, and maybe we should just have a show of hands if people
right.
want to work on it.
Right. Okay, we're going to work on it. Okay, thank you. Joy, you speak on the mic.
I actually took the time while we were debating something else to send Quincy three of my top ideas, and I'll just forward them to Craig, and he can send them around. They're open and low cost, easy to do things that I think. Yes, it would only. I just want to make a remark on the phrase of dropping the bucket. We cannot get a full bucket without a drop. So we need to start with the drops, and then we'll see what comes after that. Okay.
Okay. I think that concludes this discussion. I would like to get rid of this old business thing on director's access to employee records, my report, which is old and stale, although not so much also, but I can't remember it as well. But let me say this. It is legal for any director to look at any records of California corporations. It is legal to copy things, to take things out of the station, to take them home, to do whatever they want with them. That's legal. But the discussions also revolved around whether or not it's legal that our representative going into without apparent cause or without feeling to explain anywhere a whole bunch of staff people's personal records, was abusive of the position of director. That concludes my report. Anthony, did you want to say, did anybody want to add anything about that?
So your conclusion is there's no violation of law. The question is whether the person is exercising their powers responsibly.
Yes. That's what it is. So it's, yeah. Any other discussion on that? Seeing none. Anthony.
Yeah, I don't know offhand how many months this has sat on the agenda. I'm sorry that it's still relevant. I would hope something would have happened by now so that the WBAI directors would have been seated and participating in PNB business. But as I understand it, they still aren't. The PNB did not recognize them and selected
one. It's in the courts.
Yeah, it's in the courts. There was supposedly a decision overdue, but I guess no one has seen it yet. Rather than seat the four that the WBAI LSB elected, they opted to seat one individual who was not among those four who were elected. So it's seems to me a clear violation of the bylaws, but something that is so obvious that unfortunately it wasn't stated in the bylaws is that each station is entitled to equal representation. And I'm sure we would be very unhappy if the Speaker of the House declined to seat our California congressional delegation.
Do you have a motion?
Motion. Oh, yeah. It's the.
And then you put the motion, and then you can motivate which I guess you're doing.
No, I should have brought it with me again, but it was submitted, as I say, some meetings ago. It just says, if memory serves, that the KPFA LSB calls on the PNB to seat the directors who were elected from WBAI's LSB.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Discussion? Brian?
You know, I'd rather we not take a public position one way or the other on something that's currently being litigated. The PNB has a different opinion about the composition of the WBAI local station board. It's a question of how to apply a provision of the bylaws about when terms end and people are replaced. And under the PNB's interpretation, no meeting of the WBAI delegates has met quorum and been able to elect directors. I would say the substantive issue, but I think it's actually purely procedural. And that's what's getting litigated.
Any other discussion? Sharon and then Craig.
Well, I just want to say I really do think it would be better for us all, including the PNB, to be able to resolve things without having to go through litigation. I actually don't think that's a good reason for us not to decide something. I think if we could do it without litigation, that would be far better.
It seems to me the good reason not to decide this is that we've already passed a motion that says that says the PNB needs to do something more drastic with BAI. I mean, this is like peanuts, really, in the big picture, and I think it's just a waste of time to spend our time on it when we're talking about turning BAI into a repeater station or a license management agreement or anything. I mean, that's – I think it's a waste of time.
Okay. So let's call the question. All those in favor of the motion, please raise your hands. 4. All those opposed? 4 and 4. Abstaining. Scott? Scott? You're the tiebreaker. Hello. Oh, Joy, are you for or against Anthony's motion that we – 4. Okay. It's passed.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor, please signify by saying aye. Against.
Okay, let's congratulate ourselves on finishing the agenda.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes.
I don't know. We didn't do old business, but okay.
Oh, look at this. Yes, we did. That's you were taking a pee.
Yes, we did.
Here, I finally found where. Look at this. Come look at this. So input level is supposedly good. Output level, test speaker. What? I have no idea. I wasn't here. It had a, where it was here. Let's see. I don't know how. I hate to, okay.
Well, it worked so well the first time I did the same thing, the second time it just ain't happening.
See, here it says test computer and mic speakers. Right there. And so the output volume is terrible.
I think you clicked on the wrong spot.
What do you mean?
It should be playing like sound or something.
Oh, I see. You mean like that. Output level. Built-in headphones. Okay. Scott, did you vote? Okay. Goodbye, Scott.
So did you adjourn the meeting?
Yeah, the meeting's adjourned.